This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine opening a $15,000 monthly marketing bill, right?
Oh, yeah. That is always a gut punch.
Totally. So you open it. You are looking at this giant stack of freshly written, 800-word blog posts that you just paid for, and you slowly start to realize
that they're completely invisible.
Exactly. They're completely invisible to the only audience that actually matters today, which is artificial intelligence.
It is, it's a really sobering reality for a lot of organizations right now. I mean, we spent the last two decades basically building an internet designed for human eyes,
yeah,
you know, and human click patterns.
Right.
And now we are just watching that entire architecture become obsolete in real time.
Yeah, which brings us to today. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are operating in 2026, and the digital landscape has fundamentally reoriented itself. So if you are a business owner, a marketer, or really just someone who wants to understand the mechanics of how information actually reaches you now,
which should be everyone, honestly.
Right. Our mission today is critical for you. We are figuring out how to become the quote unquote preferred answer for generative AI tools like ChatGPT and Google Gemini.
And we are anchoring this whole exploration in a really just highly insightful breakdown by Jo Medico. Mm-hmm. She's the director of client services at Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Yeah.
And she basically spends her days reverse engineering how algorithms decide what information is actually valuable.
What I really appreciate about her perspective is that it's just so grounded in reality. Like, when she isn't in the trenches figuring out machine-readable code, she's out trying new local cafes with her son or, you know, hitting the beach as a fitness enthusiast.
Yeah, she has a life outside the screen.
Exactly. It is a really good reminder that we are optimizing these massive digital systems so that actual humans can find what they need, solve their problem, and then get back to their real lives.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the core crisis she identifies right at the very beginning of this piece is something she calls the AI slump.
Yeah, the AI slump. It is essentially the sudden and honestly terrifying drop in traditional organic website traffic that almost every single industry is experiencing right now.
Wow.
And to understand why it's happening, you kind of have to look at the mechanics of the user interface itself. I mean, think about just a few years ago. A user typed a query, hit enter, and got what?
10 blue links.
Right, 10 blue links. The search engine's only job back then was to point the user to potential destinations. User had to do all the heavy lifting. They had to click, read, synthesize the info, and decide if it was actually accurate.
So the search engine was essentially like a digital librarian just pointing at different aisles in the library. You still had to walk over and read the books yourself.
Precisely. That is exactly it. But today, the AI acts as the researcher, not just the librarian.
Okay.
The user asks a question, and the AI bot instantly reads dozens of sources in milliseconds, synthesizes all that data, and provides a direct, like, perfectly formatted answer right there on the interface.
Right there on the screen.
Exactly. The user never clicks a link. They never actually visit the website that originated the information. So, boom, traditional traffic falls off a cliff.
Which means if a company is still, you know, paying writers to churn out generic, jargon-filled articles, hoping to game some outdated keyword algorithm and win a click,
they are throwing their budget into a total black hole.
Yeah. Being number one on a list of blue links is completely useless if the AI isn't citing your data in its direct answer.
And Medico frames this as a massive fundamental shift in business objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for years, the default strategy was renting traffic.
Renting traffic, right.
Yeah, you paid for ads or you gamed SEO keywords just to capture as many eyeballs as humanly possible. But renting traffic is incredibly inefficient.
How so?
Well, it brings in super high noise and really mixed intent. A user clicks your link, reads for 2 seconds, realizes it's not what they want, and they bounce.
Oh, right, high bounce rates. So what replaces renting traffic in an AI-first world?
Owning authority.
Owning authority, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of casting this massive expensive net for random clicks, you optimize your data so that the AI inherently trusts you as the definitive source.
Got it.
Because when you are the preferred answer, the leads that do eventually contact you are already pre-vetted. The AI has already answered their preliminary questions using your data.
That makes a lot of sense. So the dashboard that executives care about now doesn't track generic page views.
Not at all. It tracks direct attribution. They need to see, you know, I invested this much in our AI infrastructure and it yielded this much in qualified revenue.
Okay, let me test that logic with an analogy just to make sure I'm getting this.
Yeah, go for it.
It sounds like a local business spending a fortune printing these beautiful glossy brochures, right? They hire copywriters, they scatter them all over town, but they live in a city where everyone navigates exclusively by asking their smart glasses for directions.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Right, so if the smart glasses cannot parse the data on that physical brochure, it really doesn't matter how beautiful the prose is. The brochure is invisible.
That captures the friction perfectly. The smart glasses, or really the AI behind them, do not process flowery prose.
Right.
In fact, generative AI models actively penalize fluff.
Wait, they penalize it?
Oh, absolutely. Because processing extra words requires more computational power. Every single token an AI has to evaluate costs processing time, which means it costs money.
Wow, okay.
So generative models prioritize efficiency above almost everything else. And according to Medico, they're hunting for two specific signals: entity authority and information gain.
Okay, so if the glossy brochure filled with generic marketing speak is officially dead, what are the AI tools actually looking for when they scan the internet?
They are looking for what DoubleDome labels the AI-optimized answer block.
The answer block?
Yes. And what's fascinating here is how strictly formatted this needs to be. I mean, we're moving entirely away from narrative flow and moving toward very rigid data structures.
Interesting.
AI models do not randomly pull sentences from the middle of some rambling paragraph. They look for a highly predictable four-part anatomy.
Okay, let's break down those four parts mechanically, because this feels like the core playbook from the source.
It really is.
So the first component she mentions is the direct question header.
Right. So in the code of a web page, text is organized using HTML tags. An H1 tag is the main title of the page. H2 and H3 tags are subheadings.
Standard web design stuff.
Exactly. But AI models use these tags as structural anchors. It lets them quickly understand what a section is about without having to read every single word underneath it.
Ah, for efficiency.
Yes. So Medico points out that your H2 or H3 tag must be an exact mirror of the prompt a user would type into ChatGPT.
Oh, wow. So you completely strip away all the clever copywriting?
Like, yeah.
If someone is searching for the cost of a roof replacement in Atlanta, your heading cannot be, you know, protecting your home from the elements.
No, absolutely not.
It has to literally be, what is the average cost of a roof replacement in Atlanta?
Exactly. You are matching the syntax of the user's query, so the AI recognizes an immediate one-to-one correlation.
Makes sense.
And the moment the AI identifies that exact match header, it looks immediately underneath it for part two, which is the one-sentence lead.
Okay, and this is where I feel like a lot of human writers are really going to struggle. The source says this first sentence must be a direct, objective answer.
Yeah.
Like, no preamble, no, since the dawn of time, roofs have protected our homes.
Which is so hard for us. We are conditioned by school, by literature, to build an argument. You know, we introduce a topic, provide some background context, and then eventually arrive at the thesis.
Yeah, the classic essay format.
Right. But AI cannot afford the computational drag of parsing your introduction. If it asks for the cost of a roof, the very first sentence under that H2 tag must be, the average cost of a roof replacement in Atlanta is between $8,000 and $12,000. Depending on materials.
Bottom line up front.
Bottom line up front, period.
It essentially flips traditional writing completely upside down. You are giving the climax away in the very first breath.
You have to, because the AI is going to extract that exact sentence to serve to the user.
Yeah.
Once you satisfy that immediate need, then you move to part three of the answer block, which is the supporting evidence.
Okay, what does that look like?
This is just 2 to 3 sentences of proprietary data or expert context. And this is critical because this is where you provide the information gain we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, we really need to dissect information gain because it sounds like a Silicon Valley buzzword, but the mechanics behind it are actually vital.
They are.
It isn't just repeating what Wikipedia or some industry aggregate site already says.
Not at all. Think of an AI model, like a detective interviewing witnesses.
Okay.
If 50 witnesses all say, the suspect was tall, that is baseline knowledge.
Right, no new value.
Exactly. The AI already knows it. It has scraped the entire internet, and it deeply understands the baseline facts of pretty much any industry. If your website just repeats that baseline knowledge, the AI has zero mathematical incentive to cite you over the other 49 sites.
Because it already has that data point baked into its weights and biases.
Yes. So information gain is the witness who says, the suspect had a specific smear on his left hand.
Oh, I see.
It is a proprietary data point that the AI cannot find anywhere else.
Give me an example of that in a business context.
Okay, so say you are a plumbing company writing about leaky pipes. 50 sites will tell the user to turn off the main water valve.
Standard advice.
Right. But if your answer block says, based on our 500 plumbing dispatches in Chicago last year, 40% of winter pipe bursts were caused by this one specific brand of valve, the AI grabs that.
Oh, wow. That is incredibly specific.
That is information game. It's an original data-backed insight that actually enriches the AI's response to the user.
That immediately clarifies it for me. It demands actual lived expertise rather than just, you know, hiring someone on Fiverr to rewrite your competitor's article.
Exactly. You can't fake it anymore. Which leads us to the fourth and final part of the answer block anatomy, the citation signal.
And this part happens entirely behind the scenes, right?
It does. The citation signal relies on technical markup, specifically schema, that is embedded deep in the website's code.
Okay.
It basically proves to the AI who the author is, what their professional credentials are, and why they should be trusted as a source over someone else.
So it's like the digital equivalent of hanging your medical degree on the wall, but written in a language that only machines can read.
That is a perfect way to put it.
Okay, so the anatomy is super clear. You have the exact match H2 header, the immediate one-sentence answer, the proprietary evidence for information gain, and that hidden citation code.
Right.
But, you know, conceptually understanding an answer block is very different from actually executing it at scale across a whole company. How does a business overhaul its infrastructure to consistently produce this?
Well, Medico outlines three technical pillars required to actually build this AI authority infrastructure.
Okay.
And the first pillar is honestly pretty ruthless. It's eliminating the fluff filter.
Which means those 800-word SEO articles we talked about really are dead.
Oh, they are worse than dead. They are active liabilities.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as we discussed, large language models operate on token prediction and processing efficiency. If your actual answer is buried down in the fourth paragraph behind walls of industry jargon and, you know, flowery transitions.
Yeah, just skips it.
The AI's parser will literally skip your site. The processing friction is just too high. You have to aggressively audit your content, strip out the filler, and ensure every single sentence serves a structural purpose.
If you aren't adding value, you are just adding computational drag.
Correct. So then the second technical pillar focuses on how you actually format the value you do provide.
Right.
It's called structured machine readability. Now, we touched on schema earlier, but Medico emphasizes a very specific protocol called Advanced JSON LD Schema.
Okay, let's translate that for anyone who isn't a software engineer. What is JSON LD doing mechanically that plain text just cannot do?
So JSON LD stands for JavaScript Object Notation for linked data.
Which sounds like an absolute incredible way to put someone to sleep at a dinner party.
It really does. It's terribly named. But mechanically, it is essentially a highly organized, totally deterministic dictionary for the AI.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Well, when a human reads the sentence, "We proudly serve the greater Chicago area," they easily infer your location.
Sure.
But an AI has to use probabilistic reasoning to guess if Chicago is where your office is located, or where your clients live, or maybe just a place you mentioned in passing.
Oh, because it doesn't actually understand the words. It's just doing math.
Exactly. JSON LD removes the probability entirely. It is a block of code that explicitly states key value pairs.
Like a database.
Yes. It explicitly says entity type, business, location, Chicago, services offered, plumbing, HVAC.
So it's not a narrative at all. It's literally a spreadsheet embedded directly into the background code.
Yes. And the source points out a really crucial benefit to doing this. It prevents AI hallucinations.
Ah, hallucinations. We hear about those all the time.
Right. And they happen when an LLM isn't entirely sure about a fact. So it predicts the next most likely word based on broad internet patterns, which often results in completely fabricated information.
Right.
If you rely on narrative text, the AI might hallucinate that you offer electrical services just because plumbing and electrical are so often grouped together online.
That makes total sense. But if you hand the AI a deterministic JSON LD file, you remove the guesswork entirely. You dictate the facts to the machine explicitly.
Exactly. You control your own entity data.
Okay, so that's pillar two. What's the third?
The third technical pillar brings us back to information gain ownership.
Right, the proprietary data.
Right. Once your code is clean and your fluff is completely gone, you have to consistently publish those proprietary case studies and unique data sets. You have to own the insights in your specific vertical.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. And I kind of have to push back on this whole framework.
Okay, let's hear it.
If we follow this to its logical conclusion, right? If the AI ignores filler, if it demands these rigid JSON-LD spreadsheets, and if it only wants one sentence, immediate answers under strictly formatted H2 tags,
yeah.
Are we just writing exclusively for robots now? Like, if a human actually clicks through to read an article formatted like this, won't it read like a sterile robotic textbook? Does human storytelling just vanish from the internet?
That is a very valid concern, and it's honestly, the primary point of friction for content creators who are trying to adapt to this right now.
I can imagine. It sounds depressing for a writer.
But Medico acts as a really vital voice of reason here. In the FAQ section of her analysis, she addresses this exact tension.
And what does she say?
Her answer is an emphatic no. You do not stop writing long-form, engaging content.
But how do you reconcile that? You literally just said the AI penalizes long-form narrative.
Ah, the AI penalizes fluff when it is searching for a direct answer. It does not penalize depth.
Okay, distinguish those for me.
So the strategy Double Dome recommends is balancing a dual audience. You do not replace your narrative blog post with just a sterile list of answers.
Thank goodness.
Instead, you embed these highly structured AI-optimized answer blocks within the broader narrative.
Oh, so it operates almost like a Trojan horse. You satisfy the machine at the structural level, but you keep the human experience totally intact around it.
Think about the formatting on the page. You have your engaging narrative introduction for the human reader.
Right.
But when you transition to a specific concept, you use that exact match H2 tag.
Yeah.
Immediately below it, you provide the sterile one-sentence answer and the proprietary data block.
And the AI just swoops in and takes that.
Exactly. The AI bot scrapes that specific block, gets exactly what it needs, and leaves.
But the human reader just sees a really clear, well-formatted subheading with a direct answer, and then they can continue reading the rest of the paragraph where I, you know, expand on the nuance, tell a story, or provide context.
Precisely. You serve two masters simultaneously. The AI needs the sterilized answer block for its generative summary.
Right.
But if a human user, perhaps someone making a huge high-stakes purchasing decision, mm-hmm. who really wants to thoroughly vet your expertise, if they actually click through from the AI interface, they still need that narrative.
Right. The code gets the AI to cite you, but the narrative nuance is what actually builds trust and converts the human reader into a paying client.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. You aren't destroying the article. You are just being incredibly disciplined about how you format the subheadings and the first sentences of key paragraphs.
Yeah.
But, you know, that introduces a massive measurement problem.
Oh, for sure.
Because if the AI is pulling my answer block and serving it to a user right there on the ChatGPT interface, that user isn't clicking my link. They aren't landing on my website.
Yeah.
So my Google Analytics dashboard is going to show zero traffic for that interaction.
Correct.
How do I even know if this AI optimization is actually working?
This is where the industry is experiencing the most whiplash, honestly. Traditional measurement tools are effectively broken for this new paradigm.
Broken? Wow.
Yeah. If you are using Google Analytics to measure your success in an AI-first search environment, you are looking at the wrong metrics entirely. Analytics tracks referral traffic. AI synthesis destroys referral traffic.
So how do you track attribution then?
Medico highlights the necessity of a specialized citation audit.
A citation audit?
Yes. You have to use new tool sets that monitor large language models directly. These tools don't measure inbound clicks to your website.
What do they measure?
They run thousands of prompts through generative AI interfaces and measure your share of voice. They track how often your brand name, your proprietary data, or your specific answer block is cited as the preferred answer in the AI's actual output.
Oh, I see. So it's a fundamental shift from tracking how many people came to my digital house
mm-hmm.
to tracking how many times did the AI recommend my business out in the wild.
Yes, exactly. It is tracking influence and authority mm-hmm. rather than just raw foot traffic.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
The overarching takeaway from Joan Medico's analysis is that we really have crossed a threshold here.
We have.
Content optimization in 2026 is no longer a game of keyword stuffing or tricking some algorithm into giving you a blue link. It requires a fundamental restructuring of how you present information entirely. You have to become a definitive, machine-readable authority.
And, you know, knowledge is only valuable when it's actually applied. So I highly recommend auditing your own communication this week based on this.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And this applies way beyond just website code. Look at an internal company memo you were writing today or a project proposal.
Right. Are you hiding the crucial answers behind three paragraphs of preamble?
Exactly. Try restructuring your thoughts, put the direct answer at the very top, followed immediately by your proprietary supporting evidence.
That's just good communication. It is. Training yourself to communicate with high information gain and zero fluff makes your ideas so much more powerful, whether you are trying to be parsed by an advanced LLM or just trying to get your busy CEO to approve a budget.
Clarity is the ultimate currency, no matter the audience.
Absolutely.
But as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a lingering thought, a scenario that kind of builds on Medico's framework, but looks to the next horizon.
Oh, I love these. Let's hear it.
Let's assume that over the next year, every major business in a given industry adapts perfectly to this playbook.
Okay, a fully optimized industry.
Right. Everyone uses flawless JSON-LD schema. Mm. Everyone formats their answer blocks with exact match H2 tags. Everyone curates excellent proprietary data.
A level playing field.
Exactly. When the underlying code and the structural formatting are absolutely identical in their perfection across 10 different competitors, how will the AI decide who wins the tiebreaker to be the single preferred answer?
Oh, that is a fantastic question.
Mm. Right. Will the models eventually have to weigh external human sentiment, brand personality, and genuine human connection just to break the algorithmic tie? When everyone masters the machine, does the human element become the only differentiator left?
It really is the defining question for the next evolution of search. Optimization gets you to the starting line, but resonance might be the only way to actually win the race.
Something to mull over as you navigate this new landscape. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, and we will catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.